Tim, you could get the convertible out today, I think.
No, not quite. Not quite.
Well, Governor-elect Rick Snyder was very busy yesterday. He met privately with Republican Democrats, and I love the question that you had for him on a report that we're airing on our news. It's one thing to meet. It's another thing to do. Talk about that conversation.
Well, it was a fascinating day yesterday. It was actually his first full day, and it started early in the morning here in the Capitol as the governor-elect, and he was working everybody. If it was moving, he was talking to them, and his message was very clear. We need to work together. He was spreading the bipartisan gospel. And you're right. In this current atmosphere, we've got a honeymoon going on. Everybody, oh, yeah, hey, this is really great stuff. Well, observers have watched this process for a long time, and virtually every new governor comes in with the same kind of euphoria that things are going to be different. We are going to work together and walk together. But Mr. Snyder really believes this. And so when I asked him that question after the meeting with the House Democrats, he said, look, you got to start somewhere, and this is day one, and we're going to build this trust, and we're going to make it work. So you have to give him the benefit of the doubt because we don't have any evidence to the contrary. But they have not yet begun to tackle the major issues, which is the budget deficit of $1.6 billion and elimination of the business tax. And we'll take him at his word that he thinks he can do it, and let's see if he can.
You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. We're talking with Tim Skubick. He is our Big B Coffee big guest of the day, brought to you by Lansing Area Big B Coffees. Tim, many times throughout the process of trying to get elected, Rick Snyder was on the program and told us that he was going to reach out and create the relationships and really be bipartisan. I know this is just the first step, but I haven't seen this kind of reaching out in years.
No, you're correct. Your observation is spot on. John Engler never did this, but we talked to Dick Posthumus about it yesterday, who was the lieutenant governor under Mr. Engler. He said, you know, John didn't have to do that because everybody knew him, and that's true. The governor, current governor, probably should have done this, but she didn't. And Bill Milliken knew most of the players, so he didn't really have to do it either. So this is, he's breaking some new ground, and it is working at this read. Mark Meadows, who's a liberal Democrat, consummate liberal Democrat, I talked to him after the meeting with Mr. Snyder. He said, I was impressed. In fact, he said, I was very impressed. He was very easygoing. His demeanor was approachable. And so he's got a shot at doing this.
The House Republicans have chosen a new House Speaker, and the Senate Republicans have a new Senate Majority Leader.
Right. Jace Bolger from Marshall is the Republican Speaker of the House. He has 2 years' experience under his belt. Randy Richardville, a little more under his belt. He served in the House and the Senate. He will be the new Majority Leader. And the interesting comment, the story we're also running with you guys this morning, is Gretchen Whitmer, who's the new Democratic Leader from East Lansing in the Senate. She said, basically, I can work with Randy Richardville. He's not Mike Bishop. And you can read into that what you want.
Well, I get a sense that everyone is looking forward to having fresh faces and new atmosphere and new relationships. Do you sense that?
Yes. I'll tell you what, they are correct in reading the public's will here. As I think you and I have talked before, everywhere I move around the state on the rubber chicken circuit, the question always comes up, Skubick, why don't they stop the bickering in Lansing and start cooperating? I think that was the message, and there were many messages in the last election. People don't want this partisan bickering, and that, remember, Rick Snyder ran basically on that platform. And so these parties now have a chance to show that they can actually do this. It will not be easy, but it can be done. It has been done, and many people believe it should be done.
Tim, last week Tom Watkins came on this program and said that he thinks the budget is not going to be $1.4 to $1.6 billion in deficit. He believes that it's going to be more than $2 billion. What do you think?
Well, it really doesn't matter. It's a chunk of change, and whether it's $2 billion or $1.6, let's not argue about the extra $400 million. The argument will be, oh, is how do you fill in the hole? And you're going to hear some chatter, it actually began yesterday, for raising new revenue, not necessarily in a tax increase per se, but I think there's going to be some serious look for the first time at closing some tax loopholes, because there's a pot of gold there that you could close some of those loopholes and come up with not only that $2 billion, but more on top of that to balance the budget. I think there will be some serious consideration given to that.
Tim, obviously the Michigan Republicans have redistricting upper hand. in the fact that they've got more folks.
Yeah.
And so the congressional map redrawing is really going to change.
Well, it's not only the congressional, but it's the legislative redistricting map as well. And that will be a contentious issue. But you're right, the Republicans have a lot of ducks in the pond on that one. The Democrats don't. But that still can be a contentious issue. The Republicans are saying, as they always do at the beginning of the process, we will be fair to the Democrats. Right. Look, redistricting is the whole big enchilada, because for the people that don't understand, here's why it's so important. You draw the voting district lines, and you try to draw them to favor your party so that party can maintain control of the legislature and the congressional delegation for the next 10 years. This trumps everything from a crass political standpoint.
Tim, from what I understand, Senate Majority Leader Mike Bishop is under intense pressure to call for a vote on the proposed new span across the Detroit River to Canada. What's going to happen?
How do you tell me how you know that?
We actually spoke with Paul Egan from the Detroit News.
And he said that the Bishop is under pressure to do it?
Yeah, he said that, and from what I've heard from you, that deal is not going to get done during this session.
Bishop has said there will not be a vote. I think that Paul might be correct. I had a source to tell me over the weekend that they're going to try to go around Bishop and bring some pressure to bear, and they would try to do that through the auspices of the governor-elect. I did ask Mr. Snyder on Monday about this issue with that in the back of my head to see what he would say, and he's staying on message. He said, I have said before, I'll say again, I can't do anything on this until I have studied it, which is code for this is probably not going to be done. Will there still be pressure? Probably. They've only got a couple of session days left. They've got today and maybe 2 days in September. So if the pressure is going to be brought to bear, it will have to come pretty quickly.
Can they go around them?
Anything's possible, sure. Bishop's a lame duck. There's no loyalty to him anymore. And if you got the votes, you can do anything. And I think they could put together the votes in the House and Senate to do that. They already did in the House. It's still pending in the Senate. So hang in there.
What are you going to be working on today for Channel 6?
We're going to be working on getting rid of this cold. We're going to be working on the revenue piece that may be part of the budget next year.
Is anything going to get done for the rest of 2010?
There could be some cats and dogs. I think what the rest of this year is going to be, it's going to be the old song, Getting to Know You. And Mr. Snyder, I think, made a significant down payment on that yesterday. Remember, there's 65 new guys in the House. Oh, man, I was on the House floor yesterday. I'm looking out at the sea of faces that I recognize, maybe six or seven. Oh, man, I got a list right here on my desk with the pictures of all these guys, and it'll probably take me at least 10 years to figure out who they all are.
And Tim, before I let you go, what's the process for getting those new folks in the mix?
Well, they've been in town for an orientation for the last 2 days. Some of them did attend the leadership school out at Michigan State University. Many of them have local government experience, which is good, but it's not the same as being in the bigs. And so it's just the process of, one, you build trust in real time. You build knowledge in real time. There's no way to cram for this thing. You have to just go in and listen and be humble about it and try to do the best job you can. The learning curve is very steep. Ask the freshman caucus members who came in 2 years ago. They will say, this ain't easy, but it can be done. And so we got a bunch of new people to watch, and it will be fun.
2011 is going to be fascinating, isn't it?
It will. It absolutely will. It will be a historic year. At the end of 2011, when you and I are chatting, we'll either have a brand new spanking new Michigan that everybody feels good about, or we'll be right where we are today, and everybody's hoping it's the latter and not the former.
I can't wait.
Excuse me, the former, not the latter.
Yeah, former, yeah.
actually, the press corps is hoping that it's the latter. That's
all
not
right.
True.
Feel better, my friend.
Hey, no, we're in good shape, Tony.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, babe.